Okay, final hour of open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, I was talking to Tom's brother-in-law today as we were all watching the space shuttle go by, and he was telling me, he said, George, you know, I woke up this morning with this incredible feeling of something happening. And I told him, and his name's Tom too, and I said, Tom, this is something I've been feeling for 2 years, and everybody else is. We just don't know what it is, but it's a very strange feeling. You still feel it? It's out there. Anyway, let's take final calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back to open line calls. And whose turn is it? It is Julie in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Julie.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
I'm doing fine in Wichita.
Good.
My subject is shadow people.
How come? How'd you pick that?
Well, I did because I had experience big time when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
And you never forgot it, did you?
No. No, and I, you know, well, actually I did. I've been a long-time listener since RPL, a long time. First time called, first time got through,
Great. And
after all these years. But it was something that stuck in my mind after a show you had. And I was about 8 years old, and I went to the bathroom, and I saw a shadow on the wall when I was looking over by the door after I closed the door. And I looked over, and I looked over to the window. It was frosted, kind of, you know, back in the day in the 60s, it was like those frosted windows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, yeah. So I kind of, you know, was really alert with that. And then I looked over, and it was this black figure, and it was so dark black. And it had like a tilted hat. But the first thing that came to my mind, like I said, as like 8 or 9 years old, was Zorro. And my heart was pounding. Oh, I mean it. I was going like, oh, is it a Peeping Tom or something? I don't know. But when I saw the hat and it was so jet black, it was so close to the window, I, you know, just ran out of opened the door, ran around, and I was at my friend's house. And I knew in their dining room they had a sliding glass door. And the drapes were open, and I looked at it, and it was floating across the yard from the window.
You saw the shadow person almost like a ghost figure.
Well, no, it was jet black. It was jet black, and I saw the hat. It was still it looked like Zorro, but it was all black. I couldn't see.
That's weird. See, most of these things, Julie, you only see on walls and things like that.
Well, that's what is so bizarre, because I haven't really heard this before until I went online later. But meanwhile, my story is and I'm sticking with it, is that it glided. It didn't have feet. I did see a cape. It didn't whisk around like it would, let's say, like a costume or something that we would have. It moved, and it had, but anyway, it glided without feet. It was a privacy fence, 6 foot wooden, in the yard, and was going, you know, alongside of it, was going around it because my friend's end of their yard didn't, it was open. You know, they had privacy fences on either side.
Was it coming after you?
No, it was going away from me. It was going away from me. As I saw it at the sliding glass, you know, I'm in the dining room, and I'm looking through the window, you know, and it was open, and I could see it just going away from me. And it was gliding without feet. This is what's so weird. And then it went alongside of it to go, you know, and it went around the privacy fence. But it, for a nanosecond, it looked over at me. Still no features, jet black. And it went around and it disappeared.
See, the fact that it looked at you is intriguing, because most of the time they aren't aware of us. You know, people, it's like two ships crossing in the night. That's a strange little picture. And the feet, a lot of people say that they have feet. So that's interesting, too. Tim in Pendleton, Oregon, it's your turn. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I've been wanting to get this message out for a long time.
Okay.
We are reaching the end times.
Why do you say that?
Well, if anybody doesn't want to believe that Yellowstone's going to erupt, they can call up there to their research and historical department, and there was a steamboat that sank in the mid-30s, and it has come back to the surface because of the cultivar.
In Yellowstone?
In Yellowstone. Also, we've got wolves and moose that have moved into eastern Oregon and western Washington for the last 2 years, and they've never been here before.
They sense something, don't they?
No, they came out of Yellowstone. Everything's leaving that can.
That's what I'm saying. They sense something.
There's four bison that died up there, and this was on the TV. They died from the contamination there at Yellowstone. When they opened them up and checked their lungs, they were full of chemicals there that they had ingested into their lungs.
Well, let me tell you, Yellowstone is supposed to explode every 600,000 years, and everybody says it's overdue. And it's a caldera. It's almost like an inverted volcano. And if it goes, when it goes, it could be a disaster of biblical proportion. So when you say Armageddon, you might not be far off. We're talking about a number of feet of ash and dust and all that stuff, which would just wipe out everything. Let's go to Dexter in Baltimore, Maryland, east of the Rockies. Dexter, go ahead.
Hey, George, how's it going, man?
Okay, Dex.
I wanted to get your take on Governor Gary Johnson, just what your opinion of him is in general, and if you think we should make a bigger demand of making sure he gets into the presidential debate, because we need a third voice. These two guys right now, I mean, I think most of us know that it's a charade, and if we fight hard enough, we can get a real guy up there to tell the truth.
Well, you know, Gary Johnson's a good guy. He's one of those strong Americans. He reminds me a little bit of Ron Paul. He's been doing his campaign, but I tend to stay away from politics as often as I can. But look, he's a libertarian presidential candidate, and you know, I think third parties should be in the debates, and he should be there. And the fact that he's not invited, I think, is abominable. Let's go to Kirk, driving in Arkansas. Hey, Kirk, go ahead.
George, I'm actually in Memphis now. I'm a biomedical.
You were on hold so long, you moved into another state.
Moving today. I started in Cheyenne, Wyoming, where I was working the last couple days, and drove down to Denver and flew over to St. Louis and down to Memphis.
There you go.
I'm a biomedical technician, and I work on hospital diagnostic equipment, and I've just climbed up my apartment stairs, so I'm out of breath. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But
don't collapse on me now.
Okay, well, this kind of comes back to the anniversary of 9/11. I was looking into a lot of YouTube videos, and I'm kind of new to the FEMA camp thing, but I've been looking at a lot of stuff. And I saw this one where this guy was in Colorado Springs at the DHS office down there, and he was talking how militarized this new government, you know, building is, and they have these big smokestacks coming out of the thing, you know, and what the hell do we need smokestacks at
in an office building?
At DHS, yeah, public building where, you know, anyway, long story short, I'm working in a 2-year-old state lab in Cheyenne, Wyoming, the last couple of days on diagnostic equipment. And, you know, this is just a state lab where they run blood samples.
All right.
You know, convicts.
Anything unusual happening there?
Well, there's three huge smokestacks coming out of the thing, and it's a gigantic building, and it's surrounded by a barbed wire fence.
What do you think's going on there?
I've been looking into FEMA camps and things like that. This thing looks like it has three humongous bay doors going into the thing. Like, what are they going to be bringing in there, and what are they going to be cremating in those big smokestacks? You know, I don't know. It just creeped me out because I've been thinking about this. And second part of the story is I'm driving from Wyoming down, kind of creeped out by the death camp lab I was working in today, and I got tired, and I just pulled off the highway there. This is it, just in between Denver and Wyoming. I pulled off, you know, just to take a breather from the road. Was just going to sit and listen to the radio for a little bit, and damned if I didn't pull into right in front of what looked like a crazy style harp installation.
Huh.
It was
That's weird. That let me tell you, that's weird that you'd have those there. In terms of the FEMA camps, you know, we reported on that, gosh, 10 years ago, that the, you know, they were getting things ready, supplies. I mean, I even heard that they had ordered body bags and everything. They're just getting ready for, I guess, some kind of disaster if it ever happens. Next up, we go to Jonathan in San Francisco. Welcome to the show, John. Go ahead.
Hi. So I've got I was up 11 words in a compressed EMT course, and I had two awkward scenarios.
What
one
happened?
One was kind of spiritual, and the second one, I believe, was a possible abduction.
Give me just one.
All right. I'll give you the abduction.
All right.
Possible abduction, should I say. So, I'm a pretty big guy, and I have sleep apnea, so I don't sleep on my back at all, ever.
Okay.
Recently, I started growing out my hair, so it's in my eyes, and I can see it out of my peripheral. So I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, I wake up. You know that feeling you get first thing in the morning, like you just woke up and you're ready to conquer the day?
Yeah.
Well, I woke up with my hands crossed across my arms, awkwardly, and all the way up to the peaks of my shoulders. Crossed, and I couldn't move them. The only thing I could hear was wind in my ears. Like, you know when you stick your head out the window of a moving car?
Yeah, but you're in the bed.
Yes, but I was in a bed. And the really weird part was I could see my hair moving to my right. And then all of a sudden I could feel the wind blowing across my bottom of my chin.
Are you saying that your entire bed was floating in the air?
No. Well, here's where... So the wind was blowing across my chin to the left.
Okay.
The wind was throwing across my forehead to my right. And I couldn't move my arms. They were just, like, secured, like, as if I was duct taped down. And then all of a sudden, after pushing really hard, I just released my arms, and I fell back into the bed.
Huh.
And at this point, I was freaked out because I knew I was wide awake, and I knew just what happened, like, it wasn't like I was in and out of sleep. I wasn't dazed. I wasn't tired. I was just like, whoa.
You were like floating up through, weren't you?
I don't know. It was awkward because I felt calm, relaxed, like caring, and I felt like I was being put down.
Oh, yeah. You always get that feeling. I mean, there's no panic there. I mean, they know, whoever they may be, to calm you down. Scott is in Colorado Springs and now on Coast to Coast. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you today?
Okay.
Okay, I'm amazed I got in this fast. Anyway, I just heard that caller that had made it across country to Memphis and talking about the DHS building here in Colorado Springs. And
mm-hmm.
I want to let you know that our county actually bought that building from, it's a former manufacturing plant.
Hence the chimneys, right? Yeah.
It either moved or went out of business, and then our county purchased that building, and that's why it's got some smokestacks on it for the cooling, because I think it was like a chip manufacturing plant, and they have to have all those clean rooms and all that other energy in that to make that, and that's why it's got the big smokestacks on it. It has nothing to do with DHS or FEMA.
No FEMA camps there, huh?
No, just to quell, you know, quash any weird thoughts or conspiracy theories about the Department of Human Services building.
Well, we want just the truth, so you got it for us.
It was used as something else, and we repurposed it here in Colorado Springs.
Very good. Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So you need an answer? Somebody's got it for us. Brad is in Lancaster, Ohio. Welcome to Coast. Brad, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I was listening to you earlier with Barla, guys were talking about werewolves, banshees, and vampires.
Yep, we sure were.
Love that stuff. Anyways, remember somebody was talking about evil elves. And I Googled that, and something came up for me on Wikipedia and talks about dark elves. And it actually gives like a little definition of what elves are, where they come from.
Do they have any pictures of them or sketches?
A little bit later on. Let me read the real quick definition and then I'll tell you about that. It's actually a Germanic mythology. They're in fiction, modern fiction, and they're found in J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And If you go down further, you'll see some pictures on J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And that's where they talk about drow, elves.
Do you think these things are real or mythical?
This is kind of like hobbits. It's kind of like a history, a lore. And a little bit further goes on, you can find out they talk about mythology. You can kind of mix that up with. And with that, a guy that I really like is Joseph Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Joseph's a good guy. Absolutely. Great information there as well. Okay, let's take one or two more calls in the break. Then we'll come back with final phone calls. Fast night here of Open Lines. Truck driving in Kentucky, it's Wayne Stern on Coast to Coast. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, Wino.
Hey, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but...
Yep, I sure can.
It's a weak little horn, I'm sorry.
Not too bad.
Hey, I was going to let you know, I drive down to Alabama every night, and I see a lot of shooting stars. Last night was the first night I've ever seen a green shooting star.
Really? I've seen a few of them. Green ones.
Yeah, it kind of threw me for a loop because usually you get the white ones that are kind of really
right.
Quick.
Or have you seen the blue ones?
Never have seen a blue one. It always makes me a little nervous because whenever you see one like that, that's, you know, out of the ordinary, it's like, oh man, I hope that's just a shooting star. You know, I'm waiting for the mushroom cloud.
You never know. Let's go to Glenda in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Okay. I hope you're well.
I'm doing great. Thank you. And I wish you the best with you and your family.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of your hard work organizing these calls with you and Tom.
He's one of the best. He's quick.
He is quick. Very quick.
Yeah. He's good.
I wanted to ask you about if you've done a show. You probably have. But recently I was in the store and I wanted to get some distilled water, and I saw rows and rows of water for babies with fluoride in it.
And
I wondered, what on earth are they putting fluoride in water for? So I looked it up online, and I could not believe the numbers of, you could do countless searches of the negative aspect of fluoride.
Oh, yeah.
On the brain.
I think fluoride should be taken out of our drinking water altogether.
Oh, it's really hard to find toothpaste without fluoride, too.
No, you can. There's some natural toothpaste that you can get.
Yeah.
Just look for it.
So I heard that it affects the brain. It actually keeps us from having... I remember earlier in the call tonight, someone else mentioned how the drug controls the will of people. Well, also fluoride does. It keeps us apathetic. It keeps us from having any drive or desire to... create our own initiative.
It's making us as zombies.
Is that what it is?
I bet it is, yeah.
It's
a poison. Fluoride's a poison. It's a byproduct, I think, of a fertilizer.
I wish there was something we could do to get that water off the shelf, you know, for these poor babies.
Well, at least with that, parents don't have to buy it if they read the labels.
Right.
That's the important thing. Okay, hey, thanks. Going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take other calls from all over the place. Skype is open for you at George97313. Got a great week of programs for you again. John B. Wells on tap on Saturday night. It's a UFO extravaganza this weekend. So if you're into UFOs, you're going to love this weekend. And then George Knapp on Sunday. And then I'll be back, of course, Monday night. Mike Barra joins me talking about some very strange structures on the moon. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our shout out. Those of you listening to Coast on our 564 radio stations across North America, hello to you, Coast Insiders and XM Talk Channel 168. And how about the various chat rooms and groups, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery, IRC, our followers on Facebook and Twitter, Yahoo Chat, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the National Radio Club, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, there's so many more, Nighthawk Nation, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here. Let's go to Michael in Gold Bar, Washington. Welcome to the show. Michael, go ahead.
Shalom, and good morning, and welcome to fall.
You too.
We've been covering a lot of subject matter, I guess, in a few days as well. Been listening. I want folks to know that sometimes we give a little bit too much power to the forces of darkness. And we fail to see because darkness is so prevalent before your eyes.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. You need to know that there are forces of goodness out there working for you. It's that everyone wants an intervention and make it stop. And in some ways, we can't let it stop. Do we want it to in order for it to change? Some people get the, the idea that angels are these lovely ladies dressed in flowing gowns and
nice wings.
nice wings and stuff like that. I assure you, it's quite different. Yes, of course, there's the beautiful ones, but there are warriors on the side of light. And we cannot give too much power to this vampires and werewolves. Yes, there's darkness.
They're there, Michael. You know that.
Right, but if you call into darkness, I assure you, it will answer you. It will answer you.
And maybe not the way we want.
Not absolutely not the way you want. But do not give that much power to it. Now, you can hear the desperate cries of everyone these days. You go to the Safeway store and look in the eyes of the clerk. They're desperate, even though they're not listening to your program. And so many people, I guess we would call them asleep, but yet it's by design that it's this way, and it's sad.
Well, it's happening too, Michael, something we've been talking about for a long time. Text message, Tom's got something for us. What do you got, Tom?
This might or might not tie in with the last call. This is from Barry in Ohio. He says, George, I believe that evil entities can hurt people, but I also believe that evil can't get to a person if their mind is strong enough against it. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I think that you can be possessed if you're weak or if you, let your guard down. But if you are strong and have the ability to repel, evil's not going to penetrate you.
If you just tell yourself, no, it's not going to touch me.
Not going to happen.
I didn't know you thought that. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
All right. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to Robert in Newport, Kentucky, is it? First time caller. Go ahead there, Robert.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Okay. What's up?
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you know of any reports or stories of extraterrestrials contracting human diseases?
No, not I don't. There's always been talk of contamination, but I don't know of anything directly. Why? Tell me, do you?
Oh, no. I was just curious. And I just kind of wondered, well, why not?
There's always been that, the Roswell crash.
Right.
Two dead beings and then a third eventually died, I think.
Okay.
I think they were concerned about contamination there, too. Thanks. Carl, Portland, Oregon, your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Carl.
Hi, George. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, that's great. Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you tonight.
Thank you.
Real quick, 2 points in regards to the spraying, the chemtrails. It's definitely noticeable here in Portland. I noticed when our water went bad here about a month ago, we had unexplained tainting in our public water
mm-hmm.
for the week, and it was unexplained, and they still haven't been able to figure out what it exactly was that tainted it. I called last week, and they still don't know.
Did they give one of those boil orders or not to drink it?
And here's the interesting thing. 2-3 days before, we had heavy spraying, and we don't have covered municipality water here, and the federal government's been trying to push the local people to put a lid over our reservoirs, and they haven't, and they also don't fluoride the water here in Portland, although they are trying to get that going.
Fight that as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, second, here's a really interesting thing. I'm underemployed. I'm laying in bed the other day. It's about 11 in the morning, looking out the window. I look up above my neighbor's oak tree. There's this looked like a black sport helicopter, blacked out. As quick as it came over and parked over the oak tree, it took off, and it had no wind. It didn't sound like a chopper. It sounded like a jet, but it looked like a chopper, but it looked like it looked small. It could have been a drone that looked like a chopper.
Most likely it probably was.
Moved so quick, like within it stopped on a dime and then took off just as quick as it came.
Yeah, no, they've got drone helicopters. They've got drone everything these days. Andrew in Norco, California. Andrew, you're west of the Rockies.
Hello, George. How are you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering or wanted to know what your thoughts are on the Denver airport conspiracy.
What airport?
Denver.
Oh, that. We've talked a lot about that before. It's a strange airport. Strange artwork, strange openings. I think it could be one of those parts. It's where the new government's going to go in case anything happens. I think they're getting ready for it. I had a friend of mine whose sister used to work there, and she said that she would see people go into a tunnel and never come back. Niagara Falls, it's Jeff's turn in Canada on the international line. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Good. I just wanted to quickly tell you about my, I had two shadow people kind of experience. One actually was like a weird kind of like time delay or something. I was walking to the store and I had to cross through a field and I kind of looked off to the left of myself there and I saw, it looked like a cutout of the scenery. And the only thing I could really tell you was almost like a cookie cutout with the legs. Like you could see the grass between it, but then it was all black.
Yeah.
And then coming back from the store, the other thing too was it looked like it had, I'm going to tell you what it was. It a hat on backwards. Like, you know how some younger people put their hat on backwards or whatever, or like a bat catcher.
Yeah.
I was coming back from the store about 15, 20 minutes later. And at that exact location where I saw, I turned around, there was a young, it kind of froze in time. Like what I saw, the cutout was a young person walking there with the hat backwards. And it was like the exact location, the exact outline I saw. And it was kind of weird. Almost like a time delay. I saw like a black cutout. You wouldn't call it a shadow person, but I at the time I was thinking it was a shadow person until 15 minutes later, I saw that. Ironic.
It sounds like you were
exactly what I was looking at.
You were in a time warp or something like that. That's what was happening to you. We are going way out to Watertown, Massachusetts now, east of the Rockies. Hello, Paul. Go ahead.
Thanks, George.
Sure thing.
The reason why I'm calling is, have you ever heard of a book called The Hallworth by Dr. Raymond Bernard?
I sure have.
Oh, you have?
Yes, sir.
Well, the reason why, when I heard you talking on the radio about the ET situation in China and the U.S., I thought about that book. And that book states that Admiral Richard E. Byrd, when he discovered the North Pole, he actually went inside the Earth. And there were people like 500 years ahead of us with their technology. And he wrote this all down in his diary, and it's supposed to be an opening at the North and South Pole, 800 feet in diameter. And I tried getting that book. I loaned it out to a friend back in 1986. So I went to a bookstore, when I couldn't locate that person I loaned the book to. And they said, no, we can't get this book anymore. And I didn't know if the government went around and stopped them from publishing that or what.
I got it in paperback for
you. Right, that's the one I had.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Paperback.
You know, there's been some dispute about Admiral Byrd's diary, whether it was authentic or not. That's up in the air, I think. But regardless, the story is incredible.
That's what I'm saying. They said, like, on the icebergs, the pollen from, it's supposed to be, like, more tropical in the center there.
Right.
And they actually have the evidence of the icebergs having pollen.
Dinosaurs down there.
Right.
Flying objects, everything.
Right.
As a matter of fact, as he flew into it,
right.
Apparently some UFOs came up next to him.
Right. So that's why I'm thinking about that, about the ET situation, whether it's true or not with China and the U.S. But I'm also thinking about, like, remember all these disappearances of these large ships in the Bermuda Triangle?
Yep.
So when you put all that together, it makes you start thinking that maybe there are ETs in the middle of this Earth. And the government either, well, they do know about it, according to Admiral Richard E. Byrd, according to him flying in there.
And they got gobbled up.
Right. Do you still have the book?
You never, you know what? I don't know where it is. When I had it, it was in St. Louis. It could be somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. I loaned mine out to a friend. I wanted to get it in hardback, but when I went to the publishers back, you know, all the bookstores back then, they said, no, they stopped.
I think it had a red cover to it.
Right.
Didn't it?
The one I had was a red cover,
yep.
Front and back.
That's
and it showed a picture of the Earth, and it showed the openings 800 feet in diameter from the North Pole and the South Pole.
We've got a guest, Brooks Agnew, plans to try to go through that on a ship. So let's see what happens. You know, and it's got that slow little curve, so you go straight into it. Let's go next to Brooksville, Florida. Charles is with us. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. This is a little off the subject, but I just wanted to reassure a lot of the people who were talking recently about the discovery of Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
predictions of Edgar Cayce and all that.
Yeah.
I'd like to assure them that it was actually discovered in 69, but because of the attitude of the Bahamian government and all that, we just didn't pursue it. We were deported, as a matter of fact, when we were trying to make excavations.
Were you part of that mission?
I was there diving separately when the outer wall was discovered, and we started doing some research using Plato's book, and we discovered that it actually fit in with the various walls that were found in other places there.
Was it huge?
Yeah, it's huge. It's the city of Poseidon, actually, and it's probably about 110 feet under sand and about 20 feet of water.
Do you think, what was it? Was it like a little island or what was it?
Well, actually, at the time, the level of the oceans was a lot less because so much water was actually on what was then the North Pole in southern Canada. and some of the noises that they're hearing is actually that land rising back up. But when the pole shifted about 23 degrees and it all melted, it just wiped out everything. But the whole southern coast of the United States was actually it extended all the way into the Bahama Islands and all that. And this was actually a coastal town. Poseidon was a coastal town, but it was the landmass went all the way out past the Bahama.
Did you get any pictures at the time when you were out there?
But believe it or not, we didn't have a camera with us. Even.
No.
At the time, you know, everybody, you know, we were living on a boat, we didn't have a camera that was actually, I shouldn't say we didn't have one. We didn't have one that was operational.
Well, let me tell you, the entire story of Atlantis since I was a kid has truly, truly fascinated me. You know, every Friday night, it's our tradition here on Coast to Coast AM to wrap up the program with none other than a dear friend of ours who's out there somewhere, UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alexa Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, then Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.